And long they catch those big fish out in the ocean, you're all going to suffer, I think. I don't like it any more than you do, Doug. I do like the idea you separated Roger and that fine gentleman on your right today. All right, anyone else on the public hearing? All right. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to approve the quotas as per staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Seconded by Mr. Bowden. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye, reluctantly.
Yes.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Carried. All right.
How many fish you got there if we raise it for us?
The next public hearing is the Virginia Seafood Council's proposal regarding Eric Kansas. Ron.
We might get out here for a walk tonight.
Maybe.
Depends on time on them.
This is a public hearing that's mandated under the Code of Virginia. And as you know, the commissioner has the final approval authority for projects of this nature. He has provided a window of opportunity in which he can make that decision, which starts, the window starts 30 days from today, but can be not any later than 60 days from today. So the commissioner, sometime between April 1st and May 1st, give or take a few days, will be making his decision on this proposal. The law, that same law, requires the commissioner to consult with the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, and the letter that I just handed out to you constitutes the VIM's comments on the proposal, and I think it speaks favorably toward that proposal. There are some specific comments contained in there. I believe A.J. Erskine is here with the Seafood Council. Come on up, A.J. I'm going to let him take you through the proposal, and then staff will finish up the presentation.
Thanks, Jack. Good afternoon, members of the commission. I first want to extend an apology on behalf of Frances Porter, as she is unable to be here today due to recent knee surgery. So I will be standing in for her. My name is A.J. Erskine, and I'll be representing the Virginia Seafood Council. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you all today regarding the Council's 2006 proposal to deploy an aquaculture structure, sterile triploid, Eric Kansas, within the rivers and tributaries of Chesapeake Bay and seaside of the Eastern Shore. Briefly, I'd just like to outline the past history with Eric Kansas in Virginia. This experimental oyster was brought to the Virginia Institute of Marine Science in 1996 under proper international quarantine procedures. Further propagation in water field testing could only be done using sterile Eric Kansas, which began in 1998. Larger scale field trials essentially transitioned from research to industry in subsequent years, responsibly increasing the number of oysters and participants only as state and federal agencies approved our proposals. Seafood Council appreciates the support the VMRC, the Corps, and the Eric Kansas ad hoc panel have demonstrated for our past aquaculture proposals, on occasion only requiring minor negotiations. This 2006 proposal includes three main revisions. First, we would like to increase the number of oysters for experienced growers to 200,000. Second, increase the number of participants by adding 5 new growers and allowing them to grow 100,000 oysters. And lastly, allow current growers to retain submarket size oysters from the 2005 project, albeit in a separate grow-out area, until they reach a harvestable size. The 2006 proposal will have a one-year time frame, which we plan to initiate June 1st of this year and terminate June 1st, 2007. This will be the Council's fifth industry-driven field project culturing Triploid ariacensis. As we proceed responsibly, adhering to each and every state and federal permit provision, this year, as previously mentioned, we wish to increase both the number of oysters and the number of participants in the project. As the environmental impact statement enters its third year of investigation, we envision continuing to move forward in developing a put-and-take aquaculture type of oyster production in Virginia, one that utilizes a sterile form of an oyster that has been propagated through at least four generations and grown in Virginia waters since 1999. Just to clarify, this additional industry is in no way a replacement for the wild-caught traditional oyster industry in Virginia. Although ecological services are limited with a put-and-take triploid fishery, the economic impact of the Commonwealth could be significant. For example, the estimated total economic impact from the Council's 2003 project was $310,000 to the Commonwealth for growing 800,000 oysters. An estimate from Tom Murray, marine business economist at VIMS, estimated harvesting 4 million oysters may bring an overall economic impact of $1.84 million to the Commonwealth. Past projects have demonstrated that commercial-scale production of triploid ariacensis in aquaculture holds tremendous potential. This oyster is disease-tolerant, is the fastest-growing oyster available across all salinities, and has a high shucking yield. These benefits, among others, have been well-documented in the published literature. Reproductive risk, on the other hand, has not been documented or quantified among triploid aquaculture projects. What we do know from the published literature is that the genetic process used to produce sterile triploid oysters is approximately 99.9% effective, resulting in the possibility of one diploid oyster being produced among 1,000 triploid oysters, or 0.1% of the population being diploid. Back in 2003, the Council, VIMS, and the federal agencies entered into a development of a reproductive risk model to significantly reduce risk associated with these incidental diploid oysters that were deployed. I believe we were successful, as I'm sure other agencies will agree. Although not perfect by any means, the Council will continue to utilize this tool to implement risk reduction measures during the reproductive season. One final point I would like to bring to light is the collaborative effort between the Council, federal agencies, the ariacensis ad hoc panel, and state agencies over the last 4 years. We've successfully negotiated permit conditions to meet everyone's concerns and still conduct purposeful projects for both research and industry. I believe we have the project manager, Mike Congrove, who can give you some data associated with the 2005 project. We have several growers here that can give you their first-hand account and experiences of growing these oysters, and I will be happy to answer any further questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Well, Matt, I have a couple questions, if you would, AJ.
Rob.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. Can you speak some to the issue of cumulative risk, the risk, or the issue of cumulative risk, I guess, as it relates to this project has been raised by some of the critics?
You know, I understand that that was a concern from some of the federal agencies and the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I don't think it has any, data that's behind it and that backs it. As I understand it, a cumulative risk would be if you're placing oysters in the same area year after year. What that assumes is that those oysters would have spawned. And, of course, we're talking about the 0.1% of diploids that are deployed, that they would have spawned, they would have survived any larval mortality, and then they would have settled. What we don't know is the spawning activity of diploid ariacensis in Chesapeake Bay or the Seaside Eastern Shore. That has not been determined, to my knowledge, out in the Chesapeake Bay, actually in the wild. And the other issue, in 2003 to 2005, the Council and VIMS collected spat anywhere from about an inch to almost 2 inches that had settled on ariacensis oysters, on virginica oysters, at the field sites where the ariacensis were being grown. They'd taken off cages. There were several hundred that were tested at Dr. Stan Allen's lab, and they were all diploid virginica. So I personally do not feel that a cumulative risk at this point has much merit.
But we haven't investigated. Well, okay, and as far as the risk management model that you're using for this study, is this not the same that was originally used and recommended by the the ad hoc panel and or National Academy of Science?
That's right. It's the same reproductive risk model that was implemented in 2003 for that project.
And are you taking any steps to pre-qualify or pre-screen or train your new growers? In other words, you're proposing to add some new participants.
Right, and those five new growers would be screened by VMRC, and they would be held to the same provisions in past proposals, such as posting a performance bond, $5,000, and adhering to access for the project manager to collect data, security provisions, and those kind of things.
Thank you.
Sure. Mr. Harrison.
In your list of growers, you have a plans for emergency, and I know that's been discussed before. Each grower has his own adopted plan, I
assume. That's correct.
So you could, but there again, something could be get loose.
Yeah, we do have provisions, and that's one of the provisions from past proposals, that an emergency management plan is on file for each participant with BMRC. And that would be carried out by the project participants.
I was just looking at one thing. In case of severe storm, the horses would be transported to a well-protected adjacent creek. When you have a storm, I have a problem defining well-protected.
Right, and that is taken under the advisement of Jim Wesson, I believe, in conjunction with him. So he would help those growers determine what is a protected adjacent creek.
How long can an horse to be taken completely out of water on shore and not die?
At least 48 hours.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So that predetermined area will be done before a storm event, and they'll know where to go, and that's going to be in the emergency plan.
That's right.
For each operation.
That's correct.
Any other questions? All right.
Dr. Jones?
No, I'm sorry, Dr. Jones.
You have, I'm just trying to go back over this to see if I understand correctly.
Sure.
You have oysters that have been in the 2005 trial?
Correct.
And they're small oysters because they were introduced in September, if I'm not correct?
That's correct. They were planted in September. There was a delay in the project. So some of those oysters, especially probably in lower and moderate salinities, will be submarket size come June 1st, which is the termination date. Part of this proposal is to retain those oysters in a separate kind of sub-farm that would be away from the 2006 oysters. It would follow the reproductive risk model. So you put in larger oyster size, and they would have to thin the bags out, you know, move them further apart to reduce risk associated with those larger oysters.
Do you have any monitoring of their reproductive potential?
We do not have monitoring of the reproductive potential in place at this time. That's possibly something we may be able to work out with VIMS for that.
Well, because you can potentially get potential reproductive individuals in that group.
Yes. We would reduce that reproductive potential by reducing the number of oysters in each bag or cage and spreading them further apart.
Any follow-up? All right. Jack, did you want to comment now?
I don't think I need to say anything else other than just open it up for public comments.
About VIMS,
VIMS? I don't think they were anticipating saying anything. Okay. You do have the letter?
We have the letter from VIMS.
For you.
Okay. All right, we'll now open up the issue to a public hearing. We'll ask you to identify yourself and who you represent.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Congrove, and I'm the current project manager for the 05-06 trials. My role with BSC is not necessarily as an advocate of the project, but more of a subjective and managerial standpoint in talking about this project and the upcoming project. As project manager, I feel that I can say that this current project has been handled with the utmost care, and the participants have met every criteria set by both state and federal permits, meeting the concerns that people have about having area consensus in the water. Some things about this year's trials that people have brought up, this current proposal, people have brought up the cumulative risk. We'll be addressing that at a meeting next week where we'll be meeting with federal agencies concerning those permit conditions. Something that has already been brought to our attention by Fish and Wildlife is that Fish and Wildlife has given an example of what cumulative risk might be. This risk model that's used predicts the amount of surviving adults that could occur should a spawn occur during a reproductive season. It was estimated by Fish and Wildlife, just as an example site, that this cumulatively could be 4 surviving adult oysters. I think the actual figure was 4.5. Now, that figure of 4.5 oysters is over the last 3 projects. From 2003 to 2006, there may be 4.5 oysters at any one site in the project. VSC will argue that 4.5 oysters is not enough to create a reproductive population at this one site. I think it's important to keep in mind that we are talking about a small number of surviving adult animals that is only a potential repercussion of having these oysters in the water. If anyone has any more questions on the cumulative risk, please ask them. I'm happy to answer them.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyone else? We have the Bay Foundation's letter on file. You've already gone over those. All that's been incorporated into the everything. All right. No other speakers. We'll present the matter to the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Garrison.
We look in the newspapers every day and see our imports way ahead of our exports in terms of time of this country. In Virginia, we're not doing well with the seed. We tried all the time. We used to kill the cow on the ray. We're not doing much with existing oyster. It looks like the seed we're putting out is wasted. Make you an example of $32,000 thing on the ground didn't last 3 weeks. But we got to do something. We got to take a chance. And I think the way to take a chance is a tripload of oyster. We got to keep this thing going. We can't. We're down to next to nothing. In oyster shucking houses, and it was a big park in Virginia one time. We got to do something. We got to try to protect something.
Have a motion?
No, sir, it's up to you.
Motion to do something.
I don't think we need a motion. It's your call, isn't it? Or is it?
No, the commission has to approve this, don't they?
No, sorry, Chair. Sure. Sure. Now, the last time
Would you like a motion, Mr. Chairman, to help you along?
Can I finish? I still have the floor. The last time we tried to help you, you didn't seem like you were glad to see us. Now, if you want a motion, we'll get you one. If it helps you, make up your mind.
Hey, you can lecture me all you want. I'll make a decision on this appropriate time. Dr. Jones and then Mr. Robb.
Okay. You may or may not want our comments, Mr. Commissioner.
Yes, I do.
Both VIMS and the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, by and large, thinks that this is a sound proposal and that it's following the recommendations by the National Academy of Science panel. Well, the concern I have is almost one-year-old oysters, that they be monitored very carefully. Mm-hmm. And the idea of, I don't think
you're getting this, Jack.
I don't think you can as quickly dismiss the cumulative risk. I think that that really does need best possible practices. Mm-hmm. In that there's the potential for hybridizing between Arrakentis and Virginica, one unintended consequence of even small introductions of reproductively viable Arrakentis is that you wipe out the Virginica oyster. And I think that has to be taken most seriously.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the gentleman, I missed his name, I'm sorry, but the project manager, I think
Congress.
Yes, sir, I think he made that statement that he's willing to adhere to those protocols. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing I would point out, it's my understanding that some of the data that comes out of this project will in fact be submitted to the EIS process. I mean, I think in addition to learning more about the aquaculture side of the industry, I mean, we are going to be learning things scientifically, and the EIS, I think that data will be a positive input into the EIS process. So I think there's benefit in the project right there.
Mm-hmm.
I would note that the the risk management model and biosecurity protocols that are being followed by this plan are as per the original ad hoc recommendations and I think the National Academy of Science recommendations. Right. So it seems to me to be I don't think it's a high-risk project at all. I mean, I think it's, in fact, a risk-averse project that is still a contained aquaculture project.
Right. And, Jack, if you will prepare that way, including the Chesapeake Bay Commission's and VIMS's, and what you've heard from the commission, then I'll sign it today if you want me to, or tomorrow. I mean 30 days. Well, within 30 days.
30 to 60.
30 to 60, you're right. 30 to 60. So 30 days from now, somebody will sign it.
Somebody.
32 days from now. All right.
Mr. Commissioner, one.
I'm sorry.
I'd just like to add that aquaculture in the shellfish industry is the future. It's been a kind of a pet interest of mine. And I think it can go far beyond just the seafood packing companies and growers that are there present in it. I think it can be something that can be expanded bay-wide on all the shores. This process will help the native oyster by cleaning the bay and help the environment in general. So the promotion of aquaculture, I think, is paramount.
Thank you. I agree. Dr. Kirkley, I was wondering if I could take the next two. Would you mind if I took you after those? Or do you need to get – you need to leave? Thank you, Jim. All right. Jack, let's take the Bonnie Lee Jones request. Mr. Ernest George is down there.
I was hoping that we could strike this item from the agenda, but apparently that's not the case. I know that Mr. George and Mrs. Jones had been in some lengthy discussions over the last couple of months looking at a means of resolving the concerns that the residents at the Beach Cove Villa at Wimmo Point have with regard to Mr. George's pound net, but that's apparently not the case, and so the item is back on your agenda. It comes to us as a result of a letter from Mrs. Jones that was provided to you some time ago, and it centers on Mrs. Jones and other